following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Hal Bach.
Good to be with you, John.
Good morning, Hal. How's everything?
All right, just fine.
It's been a bit since I've seen you, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
We're going to get right into our first guest who is on the phone, actually, this morning, and that's Deborah Costa. And Deborah is Emergency Management Specialist with the National Preparedness Division of FEMA, which, going into this time of the year, it's always important for seniors. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, John. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
No, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. This is a program, as we've talked about, for seniors. And we have conversations just as we would have a conversation at a cocktail party. My first question always to a guest is, how did you get involved with FEMA?
Well, I actually got involved with FEMA right after Hurricane Sandy. FEMA was looking for local hires to support their operations in New Jersey. And I signed up. I actually took a leave of absence from my position doing project management for a company to take a 90-day position as a temporary job.
Wow.
You know, to see, you know, I don't know, something different, you know, when you've done something for 20-plus years. And now 6 years later, I've been with FEMA the whole time, and I love it.
That's tremendous. I always love to ask that question because, you know, it's rare that you have people that are willing to come on the show to talk to seniors that say, oh, I don't know, I came out of high school, I had nothing to do, and this is my job. I mean, this is a passion that you, to make a move like that 6 years ago, you know, it's gutsy, and you're still there. So terrific. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
One of the most important things that I've heard seniors talk about in getting prepared, and I think it's one of the topics we need to talk about, is a kit. You know, all of a sudden you have a terrible storm, the lights are out, this is gone, the water, and they have no, there's nothing prepared whatsoever.
No, you have to have a kit. You have to have something to eat, something to drink. You don't
right.
know how long you're going to be out of business, depending on the severity of the storm. So you just have to be prepared, and it means getting ready in advance. And some people don't even think about it. I do, and my wife does, and we're prepared. I don't want to have to face a terrible storm or a terrible circumstance.
Right, of course.
But if one comes along, we're ready.
Going over that, Deborah, what are the most important things? You know, because people, honestly, when they hear these things for the first time, they don't pay attention. The most important thing that somebody was, if they were putting together a kit, or as we get into Christmas, for an adult child to turn around and say, you know what? Mommy doesn't need another blouse, but we could put something together for her that's more valuable than that.
100% right. That's quite true.
That's a great idea. Actually, last year I did a tip for people who were looking for gift ideas for the holidays, with such items as that, you know. My kids laughed because last year, as part of their Christmas gift, they got a snow shovel to keep in their trunk,
okay.
And they also got a bag of kitty litter, and they wanted to know what the heck they were going to do with this bag of kitty litter. Well, it turns out that kitty litter is great for traction control if you ever get stuck in the snow. So when everybody has something, building a kit is one of the four primary steps that we stress in being prepared.
Okay.
That kit should have water, it should have non-perishable food, flashlight with batteries, first aid kit, a whistle, a blanket, you know, any personal hygiene products. What's very important is prescription medication, and or knowing even the prescription an eyeglass is, and something people often forget, is cash in small denominations, right? So if the power goes out, you know, and you want... I was in Puerto Rico last year. Okay. I was there during Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Ooh. And, you know, I ended up being there for over 3 months, and I went there with the intention of being there for 2 weeks. So needless to say, I didn't have enough cash on hand to last me 3 months, you know, especially when the restaurants and the supermarkets could not accept credit cards. You know, when the ATM machines either weren't working or when they came back up, that the lines were over an hour long to get cash out of the machine.
Right, right.
Hoping that the machine wasn't empty. So these are little things that people need to take into consideration.
That's true. Actually, this has nothing to do with an emergency, but glasses. Maybe five or six, I wear reading glasses. And maybe 5 or 6 years ago, went on vacation, and I have 2 or 3 pair, but I only use one pair. Like right even now today, I only have one pair. I have another pair at work. And like the second day, the lens came out of one eye, and I never found it. That was a nightmare. And so that same thing would exist, you know, in a storm. You can't read anything. You're lost. I mean, people that are so dependent on certain things that it's amazing.
And you don't even think about it. It's so automatic.
Right.
In the morning, I get up, and I can't get out of bed if I don't have my glasses on.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I'd be bumping at the walls. So it's you know, it's so automatic with me. But if you don't have it, then you're lost.
Right, if you're not paying attention. And what Deborah brought up with the small bills.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm a person with like 20s because I very rarely have cash. And I just, if you have two 20s, it doesn't really take up much room, honestly. But you're right. Then all of a sudden you go to a store when all the ATMs and the cash registers aren't working and your item is only $3. What do you do?
You give them the 20.
Unfortunately, it's the truth.
They run out of change fast, that's for sure.
You know
when you're putting together a kit, what you have to think about is your everyday life and your everyday conveniences, right?
Right.
So Hal said, I wake up in the morning, I put my eyeglasses on. Okay, that's the first thing on your list. If not only your eyeglasses, even helpful if you don't have a spare pair, is knowing what the prescription is. So, like, a lot of times if I'm traveling outside the United States, I always ask my eye doctor, can you write down my prescription for my eyeglasses and my contact lenses? And I tuck that piece of paper in the back of my wallet. Should something happen, you know, and I don't have a spare pair, eventually I could get a spare pair made because I know what I need.
That's true, too. You could go into, like, around here, you could go into a Wise Eyes or one of those places.
That's right.
And that afternoon have a pair of glasses at least. Because you don't have to need an eye exam and start guessing. Again, that's a simple thing. But it's
but
the
people
type
don't
of,
think
no,
about
of
it.
No, of course not. You have to constantly make a list to do these kind of things.
It's true.
But you said the cat litter before. Just go back to that a second. Or kitty litter, whatever.
So it's great to have an emergency preparedness kit at home, but I also recommend that people have a kit at their place of business, that people have a kit in their car, and they may not look the same. They all may be very different. You know, when I work on the 52nd floor of the World Trade Center, you know, my kit looks different there than it does at home. My most important thing for me in that kit is that I have a pair of sneakers, because if I have to walk down 52 flights of steps, I want to have sneakers, right? You know, and in my car, I have a blanket and a snow shovel. I have flares, and I have kitty litter. I've never had to use it, but it's there if I need it.
Wow. Okay.
Well, that's the whole point. You hope you never have to use it, but it's important to have it on hand if you do have to use it.
Which is the same as insurance.
Yeah.
People complain, but the day something happens to your house or your car, you're very happy you have the insurance.
The two words my agent always uses is, what if?
Right. That's the truth, 100%. And it really is, what you're saying, like you gave it to your kids, it's the type of thing that doesn't make sense because nobody pays attention to it, you know, and even...
Right. And they laughed at me.
I'm sure they did. What's mommy doing?
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is that if you and your family want to recover from an emergency faster, it depends on your ability to plan and prepare for it today.
Right. And even somebody in their home, I don't know why this just came to mind, even with food, non-perishables, which today they have a lot of stuff in boxes, but canned food, you need the can opener. You can do all the, you know, it's the silliest things that you're not going to pay attention to. And that's why you need some sort of a list. And you actually have to, and that goes back to the Christmas gift, you have to have actually somebody come in and actually pop, this is my gut feeling. I would be the person that wouldn't prepare properly. You need somebody to sit down with you and have a checklist.
Sure, yeah, just go over it.
If anybody, any of your listeners would go to ready.gov, which is FEMA's preparedness site, / build a kit, all the contents that you need for an emergency preparedness kit are there. If you go to ready.gov seniors, there are suggestions in there for labeling medical equipment and stuff if you use a wheelchair or creating a communication plan, you know, having a list of telephone numbers for people that you maybe depend on day to day. Ready.gov is a fantastic resource for everyone.
Okay, that's perfect. And anybody who's listening and doesn't have a pen with them, they can just call 311, because all the information that Deborah is passing on, we have it recorded, and anybody calling can get that. In reference to phone numbers, and this is a personal sharing about, I don't know, the last couple of weeks, I have an iPhone, and it was acting up, and I took it to the Apple Store, and they did something, and then a day later, it acted up worse. Nevertheless, I lost, out of 700 phone numbers, 650.
Mm.
And I was out of my mind because I didn't even have my kids' phone numbers. I don't know them anymore because I just hit their names. And
yeah.
You're saying that because then somebody told me, he said, John, you have to have something. You still have to have a piece of paper with maybe 10 phone numbers, because if you can get your kids, then your kids can get your cousins and your brothers or whoever else you need. But you have to have some. And everybody becomes so contingent, or not, dependent, not contingent, dependent on the phone, that after X number of hours, and if you can't plug it in, your phone's done.
You know, technology is great, but in my career as a reporter, newspaper man, whenever I did an interview, I would tape it. I'd have a tape recorder, but I'd also have a pencil and a pad, and I'd take notes, because you never know when the tape recorder is going to go south on you.
Right, I agree.
And so I had the notes to back me up.
You know, it seems silly because especially younger people today, everything's on the phone. Birthdays, this thing, you name it, it's on the iPhone, you know, or whatever device you're using. It makes no difference. But write a piece of paper, because at that point in time, if there's no electric and there's no this and there's no that.
That's right.
Your phone's going to help you for a little while. So that's a good point also.
Yes, and FEMA actually has templates for either making a plan or for a communication list on that ready.gov site as well.
Really, this is amazing today. The ready.gov, I didn't even know about that.
That's,
I mean, I saw
stuff.
It in your papers. That's a different story. But prior to it, you know, before a guest comes on, you're basically clueless to some of these things. And then you start reading some of this stuff about being informed and making a plan. It's like, it's not that difficult. And unfortunately, most of the people have the time, not unfortunately, fortunately, most of the people have the time to do it. Unfortunately, they don't.
Exactly.
And that's the.
You know what?
Go ahead, Deborah.
People seem more interested in doing it the closer to an event, right? So Sandy happens, and everybody's like, oh my God, I wasn't prepared. You know, next time I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. But the further away we get from the event, people kind of forget. They forget how bad it was. You know, or what they were without, that was a once in a 100-year storm. That's
right.
Not what it means, you know. So the best time to actually talk to people about being prepared is when they're recovering.
Absolutely. I agree. Actually, we're going to go into our first break, and we're talking here with Deborah from FEMA. We'll be right back. You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.